This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, Tuesday, it's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Video stream up and running, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss this show or any of the shows on 96.5 The Fan. Kind of a chilly, rainy day. We start to the day in Kansas City. I hope everybody's having a good Tuesday, though, overall. Week one in the books. Week one in the books in the National Football League, just like that. And I'm done with our guillotine league already.
Dude.
We got the unofficial Cody and Gold Guillotine League.
Yeah, not in any way associated with Odyssey. Just two, three people who happened to work together that wanted to do a guillotine league together. Amongst friends.
We'll get to the
on
details.
A social media space. But yeah, we'll get to the details on what happened. That's
You
won this league last year.
That's why guillotine's fun, though. You can go from winning.
I told you that Rashee Rice pick was risky.
Well, the Rashee Rice pick was done 2 days before the actual settlement.
But I still thought it was risky at the time.
I thought I had 6 weeks, Cody. I thought I had till September 30th.
I will not be picking up Rashee Rice this week. I will wait.
You won't.
As he passes through five teams, and then I will wait for, because we're in Kansas City, and then I'll wait till he's eventually arrived.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I drafted him before we knew that the suspension was going to take place week one. I drafted thinking that the 30th was what they told us. Anyway, It's all right.
I bet the Chiefs wish it was the first 6 weeks he was available now.
You think they need some help at wide receiver?
Because that's really what this all boils down to. Let's play a little GM. Everyone likes that. Let's find out whether or not what the Chiefs should do at wide receiver. Do I know that the first name every single person in the text line is going to mention is Tyreek Hill? Yes, I am aware of that. Now, I would point out that over at TMZ and now ESPN.com, Tyreek Hill yesterday had more court documents filed on behalf of his ex-wife stating issues of domestic violence during the course of their relationship, alleging multiple incidents of domestic violence in there. So before you mention Tyreek Hill, can we just point out that guy sucks as a person, in my opinion? Obviously, I'm assuming in other people's opinion as well. He makes him untouchable. Like, Andy Reid does not mind taking a flyer on previously in trouble players, currently in trouble players, people with a lot of different sordid histories, not when they're actively in it. He's the second chance guy. Or he brought Kareem Hunt back after Kareem Hunt showed a little bit of like remorse. If Tyreek is still getting this stuff filed against him, I just not interested at all. We can talk about what they might do for you, Tyreek, anywhere on this list, other than the financial part, which obviously doesn't work either.
The financial part is why I don't think it's realistic. The other stuff, number one, it's week one of the season, so nobody's getting traded like that at that level right now. There's trades happening. The Eagles traded for Tank Bigsby and stuff. Okay, that's a little bit different. They have a rookie. They're not, the Jags aren't tanking, and the Jags didn't just have a terrible week one loss. It's just different. The Dolphins star player Tyreek Hill is not getting traded after 1 week. Now, do I think he ends up finishing the season on the Miami Dolphins? No. I think there will be something that happens. later on this season. The Chiefs, the wide receiver room is the wide receiver room for at least another 5 or 6 weeks, in my opinion. Okay, maybe they go and pick somebody off the street, Mecole Hardman or something. Okay,
whatever. Is on the street, isn't he?
Somebody like that.
A classic.
But no, so I don't think Tyreek Hill's realistically getting traded anytime soon. As far as the question you asked me, would I have interest? I want to see what the next 4 weeks look like of this offense. But the biggest hurdle is the financial hurdle. The dead cap for the Dolphins, they trade him. They only are on the hook for 12.7.
So they'd be happy to trade him.
But the team that traded him, $27 million cap hit, and then $52 million in 2026.
What's a dead cap hit to get rid of him next year?
I don't have that in front of me. I can
no
look it up.
No one's paid him $52 million.
And that's why it's not all that realistic right now. The timing is a problem. Got to wait multiple weeks to begin with. And then financially, this is a team that already has a massive cap hit for Chris Jones next year. They got to figure out. It's a team that needs to get a deal done with Mahomes in the offseason, probably a deal done with McDuffie in the offseason. Juwan Taylor, you're going to have a little dead money on that deal that you're going to cut him. You can't convert. You know, there's nobody to bring in Tyreek Hill this year, and then you're going to say we're going to convert the rest of Juwan Taylor's deal. You can't do that because that means then you're on the hook even more for another year of Juwan Taylor. So I don't think they have the flexibility to pull off a trade like this to begin with.
I don't really think it's a fit. I don't really think it makes sense. And I don't know when or if they'll put Xavier Worthy on the injured reserve list. Obviously, at this point, they have not. So they might just be willing to ride out 5 weeks of mediocre offensive play and find out what happens with it. Over on the text line, so Cody's one of those believe all women types, not innocent until proven guilty, they say. You're like, hey, listen, Gold, if you'd been accused of robbing like 10 cars, I'm going to start thinking you're a car thief. I don't know what to tell you, one way or the other. This is not the first time Tyreek Hill has been accused of this. It's like the fifth time. So like you can be that way about it if you want, but even if it's just an accusation and you're like, hey, innocent until proven guilty, which by the way, he will get in a court of law, separate from my opinion of him on a radio, which does not apply to innocent to proven guilty. That's a court of law thing. But even if that's the case, well, he's untouchable from that perspective anyway. You can't actively trade for a person who just had court filings put against him regarding domestic violence. And so but part of it is, I just don't think they're going to panic the way they did last year. I look at the way you mentioned with the Eagles, the Tank Bigsby trade. They just traded for, right, or signed a defensive lineman as well. So in the last couple of weeks, they've been looking at corners. They signed a running back. They signed another defensive lineman. They're handling their season this year like the Chiefs handled their season last year. They're the Super Bowl champions, Gold, and they want to repeat. And they're going to do anything in their power in order to make that a possibility. If the Chiefs were in the middle of the three-peat, I think they would have already signed a wide receiver in a lot of ways. I don't think there is rush to make a decision as they were in the past. I think you hope that Worthy comes back in a month or less, and you hope that Royals gets healthy, and you just kind of patchwork this thing together. I wouldn't act yet.
I just don't think, you know, you can't go and get anybody in week one at wide receiver. It's the Mecole Hardman types that are available right this second. I don't think they need to go rush out and make that move today for Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to see a couple of weeks of what it looks like. Also, we still, maybe the Chiefs do, but we, the public, still do not know exactly how long Worthy is out. We don't know if he's out for the season. Maybe they do.
Maybe he's back on Sunday.
Maybe he's wearing a brace in 10 days and he's playing. We don't know. They have more insight on that, obviously. I will be very open to trading for a wide receiver in 5 weeks if it's still a problem and all that if Worthy's out for the year. But they know they're getting Rashee Rice back in 6 weeks, 5 weeks, right? They know they're getting him back at that point in time.
And they do sound like they think they're getting Worthy back.
And the trade deadline is still weeks and weeks after even when Rice comes back. So to me, there is no reason to go rush out and make that move, especially when the wide receiver that room that they have. Anytime you lose a number one, number two, it's a huge hit, but it's always the, like, who do you think anybody on the street is better than somebody that's been in your system the entire offseason?
Like Tyquan Thornton. Do you think you can improve over Tyquan Thornton?
I don't really think so at this point.
You probably improve over Jason Brownlee. He's probably better than McColl at this point.
Fine. But that's, I mean, we're talking about the sixth receiver.
Well, and the only way you make that move is if you still have to play someone on the injured reserve in order to
I'm way more interested in finding out in the next week or so if the defense has the horses to get it done and do they need to be looking at defensive options in the secondary in 4 weeks than I am worried about the wide receiver room. I'm serious. Like, the defense will get better under Spags. I believe that. A lot of it was communication issues. They're very young there. But in terms of trade market, the more realistic they might be, do they need to go trade for someone in a month and a half from now? I feel almost weird even talking trade stuff 3 days after
week
it's week one of the season. Like, I don't think it's all that realistic. I'm not panicking that I need to go rush out and trade for somebody, but I understand, as you said, we saw a lot of texts. We've all seen the tweets from fans and listeners wanting us to talk about Tyreek Hill a little bit and options. And I think it's one of those, like, let's acknowledge that it exists and let's check back in on that in a couple of weeks.
I think that you have to play it out at least a little bit, because I do think there's still part of it is, so you're like, well, you're in the same spot as last year, right? You don't have good enough wide receivers, but there is still part of me that is hopeful that the offensive line play will at least be improved. I thought it was improved in week one versus what it was in the Super Bowl. Not saying it's perfect, but if there is a chance of improved offensive performance based on where they are, based on just the offensive line, there is still a chance they could be better offensively than that. You're still right. Like, my concerns are still in the defense. And the same problem as last year. They can't get, for a huge chunk of last year, pressure with the front four. For one game, albeit just one game this year, they couldn't get pressure with the front four again. Can that improve? Or do you, because like, that's the part where I'm like, yeah, that's where you might want to talk to teams or talk trades. And even that would still be what, a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks? You're not making those decisions after a single week. I know the Philadelphia Eagles just traded for Tank Bigsby, but that's a small time trade, not a team
and they
already
did
giving up on a quality defensive lineman.
Yeah, I remember that trade. They have a starting running back in Saquon Barkley. Will Shipley, I believe, is hurt, and so they just want a depth behind Saquon. It's easier to find a depth piece. What people are suggesting is like going getting someone that can come in and like have a massive impact right away. Much harder to pull off a trade for that. If you just said the Chiefs need to find a new third running back, okay, that can be found. They're in a different spot than what Philly just acquired. Tank Bigsby, I think, can help them in the receiving game. By the way, I would have been interested in Tank Bigsby as a new number two or number three running back for this team, actually. Let's talk about the running back, because Isaiah Pacheco only had five carries, I should say. I think he had six touches in the game, but five carries. They only ran the ball 11 times. We didn't get into this running game enough yesterday. They have not gotten an explosive run for a running back in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about around the draft, you and I would have liked them to spend more of a premium pick on a running back. They obviously didn't. Okay, that's fine. I actually think Isaiah Pacheco just was not really given any chance to get in any flow whatsoever. The yards per carry were not good. I understand that. But five carries, you get five touches in the game. We know they're never going to be run first, nor should they. But it goes back to something we discussed a lot last year. If you're going to struggle with getting open down the field, and I understand the game plan probably shifted with Worthy's injury, you have to have some complimentary running game to go with it. And I do believe Isaiah Pacheco is capable of doing that. But CDOT had the stat, and it's just kind of crazy. Yesterday, 295 carries, last 295 for the Chiefs. Pacheco and Hunt combined. One carry over 20 yards. Four carries over 15. That's crazy. They have no explosiveness out of the backfield.
This is not, sadly, new information, Gold. You and I kind of hammered this home. And then it was like, well, Breshard Smith exists. I'm like, it's a seventh round pick. There's only so much you can count on from that perspective being a regular case. And so, like, I'm not surprised to find that stat's not like, what? I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. They do not have explosive run game. And they're never going to have an explosive run game this year is the truth. Unless all of a sudden they just decide they got the best run blocking line in the entire NFL. Now, Pacheco didn't really play much last year, and I was never expecting a 20-yard run out of Kareem Hunt. Pacheco was never really much of a 20-yard run guy before. He was just an occasional 20-yard run guy. Some of this is, I would like to just say, because you're lacking on wide receivers, lean on the run game, Cold, but I don't know that that's the solution. It's just asking more out of Mahomes and for the run game to not be non-existent like it was the last time the Chiefs were on the football field in Brazil, because that's what it was. It was non-existent. But Pacheco is still a very important player for them. He's an even more important player now because they will have to use him in some capacity to make sure that there's still some functional offense. They just got to get in, like, they're back to the grind it out. I need Pacheco to get 4 yards a carry. That's what I need. Not 3.5, 4.
Yeah.
So they can,
yes,
get it.
Technically, he averaged
third and three.
And yes, technically, 5 carries, 25 yards is a 5 yards per carry average. But if we watch the game, like in general,
man, I can't believe he got 25 yards. It didn't even feel like that. I feel like he got stopped three times.
He had a 10-yard run.
That's what it was.
It said that, look, it counts, but also that's, it was, yeah, it was a 10-yard. When you only carry it five times and you have 25 yards, one 10-yard run changes the entire, very
versus
quickly.
Had you carried it 15 times and the other ones went the way the first four.
I'm not asking him to run the ball 30 times a game. I'm really not.
That's
not what I'm asking, but And you can say, hey, they were down, but even they abandoned the run very, very quickly. And I think when Worthy went out, everybody kind of panicked a little bit, except for Patrick Mahomes, and he kind of took over the game, as we know. But Isaiah Pacheco, to me, is still more than capable of being a running back in this system, that what they're asking their backs to do, more than capable. No, they don't need a true bell cow back. They're never going to hand it off to Pacheco 23 times. That's not what they're asking him to be. That's not what they need him to be or anything like that. And by no means am I saying is he a top back in football. He's on the top half of the league, but he's not a top back in football. But when you're carrying the ball five times, I mean, just there's no rhythm whatsoever. You're trying to find out how do they get the ball down the field more. If teams aren't even concerned about the running attack, then you're going to have an issue. I know, Drew, we were texting Sunday Night Football watching the Bills-Ravens. I think you made the text about, down the field and the Ravens taking shots and just throwing the ball up. It's a hell of a lot easier to also do that when you have to worry about Lamar and Derrick Henry as a rushing attack. And the Chiefs are never going to have that. I get that. But you
they
have
could
no
draft a guy
threat.
That gave them a chance to do that. Who had the best game out of the rookie running backs?
Probably Genty or Henderson, right? I don't know. You're talking about the entire NFL week one?
Yeah.
My guess would be one of those two. I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I saw Scatabo have like a single rushing effort. So like, no, I
Genty only had 38 yards actually.
Also not Genty. So maybe it was, RJ Harvey who had, I think, a 50 yard run somewhere in there. But that's the point. RJ Harvey, a guy who was available in the middle rounds gold, a guy that we talked about being interested in for the Kansas City Chiefs. He had one 50 yard run. And you're telling me that there's in the last like calendar year run like that for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's the part that always has gotten me, is that last year and the way they've had to operate for 2 years in a row is the ball is so close to the line. It's like actively working against each other in both ways. They can't push the ball down the field goal because there's no respect for the running game. So they're like, running game. So we can just stand back there and make sure you can't throw the ball down deep. And then they can't get a regular running game going, partially because once they stop throwing the ball down deep, everyone's a slightly closer to the line of scrimmage. It's like it's both things seem to be happening at once. And it feels like you have to like convince teams of one first so that the other one can be more employable. And to me, the easier thing to convince the league is we don't care that Xavier Worthy's not here. We're throwing the ball down the field. This is not dink and dunk city for the next 5 weeks while we wait for Rashee Rice. They took a lot of shots in that first game. More shots than I had seen them take in a game at almost any point last season, because they at some point last year, halfway through the year, they firmly settled into, we already get 3.5 yards per play offense, and we will take 12 plays to get a score, and we will hope that the red zone is kind to us today. They turned into that at some point last year.
By the way, I think the answer was Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, the seventh rounder.
10 for like 80, right?
10 for 82 and a touchdown. He's kind of, him and Eckler are the top two backs there in Washington. He was a name fantasy football people were keeping an eye on throughout preseason. I think, is it Bob or Bill is what he just says he goes by?
Bob?
Bob, right?
I thought,
Bob.
Or maybe no, it's Bill.
Is it Bill? He just goes by Bill. He wants people to call him Bill. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
Is Bill anywhere in his name?
No, but he said when he was a kid, that's like, I believe that's what his friends called him or something. I can't remember.
Because they couldn't pronounce Ja'Cory or what?
I don't know. But
I think it was a Little Bill. It was a Little Bill thing. You remember the cartoon Little Bill?
Okay, got it.
I don't, but that would make sense.
Oh, what? Oh, you guys need to be cultured. Lil Bill?
I don't have to.
What's I'm serious. What? Lil Bill?
Drew, we're different ages.
Oh.
We're 10 years apart in age.
I think it was mentioned in one of the stories.
That's the Bill Cosby thing?
I don't even have to point out whatever the thing.
No, you said, no,
we're talking Bill.
You're telling me that we don't know the show, and I go, that's the Bill Cosby thing. You go, no, he's literally the lead cast member.
No, I was talking to Cody. I was answering Cody. It is the Bill Cosby thing, but it was it was during the Commanders-Bengals preseason game. They mentioned that he looked like Little Bill.
Confirmed. Drew, pro Bill Cosby. Make that very clear on this show. Okay. Drew is...
that show is amazing. I grew up on that show.
So he knew Little Bill.
He looked like Little Bill.
Dude, I remember like the previous Cosby show.
That's why people called him Bill.
Not this one.
That was the story from the preseason game.
I'm familiar with the previous Cosby show.
Oh, man. I grew up on Little Bill. That show was awesome.
It sounds like that was your show.
Oh, the text line agrees with me. How do you not know who Little Bill is?
I don't think that's that crazy. I'm 40 years old. 41 years old now, I guess. I had to think about that for a second.
Someone says this coming from the guy who watches Scooby-Doo still. Drew likes his
Lil
cartoon.
Bill was like, you could throw Bob the Builder in the same sort of, it was like.
Little Bill first premiered on November 28th of 1999. I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
Do you think I was watching Little Bill at 15?
I think you're right, Cody. The gap for you, I don't know how old you were in 1999.
I would have been eight.
I think you would have seen it. Cody, yeah. Text lines,
do you know Bebe's Kids? Like, that's a cartoon I remember.
Mine was like, at my age at that point, I was watching, it was like Blue's Clues and Rugrats and, it was that kind of stuff.
You can tell someone's age based on the Dora Nickelodeon
Explorer,
shows.
Dora
the Explorer was not a Dora.
Mine
was
too
old at that time.
Doug and that.
Doug, yeah.
Era
yeah.
of cartoons. Now, Doug, you probably watch sure. New Doug.
Hey Arnold, Cat Dog.
Hey Arnold. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we share those. We're close enough that we share those.
But those are.
And then the live action ones like Salute Your Shorts or Hey Dude or the ones that are a little older on your end.
Blue's
or just
was
like
great.
Legends of the Hidden Temple or whatever other
guys. What was his name? Steve? Was that
Steve.
The guy who signed the track? I saw he made a video like a couple years ago.
All that.
Bill Nye, I think that crosses generations.
Bill. Boo.
That's right.
Boo.
Not Little Bill. That does not cross generations.
No.
Bill Nye's a legend.
Oh my goodness. Text from
Arthur.
Arthur
was great.
Texter with the last four digits of 7116. I can't read that on the air, but that's great. That's great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
It's a great text.
You guys have your minds in the
913-586-7.
Oh, Clifford. Don't forget Clifford. Clifford was banging. That show was incredible. Clifford,
Arthur, all that. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't watch a ton of those.
Not those are the ones like right
Arthur
after school.
Arthur Reading
you
Rainbow
back
was.
Hang out.
I forgot about. Yeah. I forgot about Arthur. Shout
Let's
out to
go.
Arthur.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. 100%.
The hands down best PBS show of all time is Wishbone.
Not something I watched.
I don't know what that is actually.
It's a dog who plays out classic literature.
So that one says, I must be real old, Gold. It was Speed Racer and the Jetsons. I watched the Jetsons, but like the second, you know, iteration, like
the newer updated one.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, like Jetsons. Cartoon Network would still air the old Jetsons.
I mean, the Flintstones is incredible. Mm-hmm. I love the Flintstones.
The text line is just full of whatever shows they were watching as a kid now, which always makes it interesting. But again, I think if you tell me you watch Rocco's Modern Life, I feel like I can get a general, I could get your age within a few years. And I guarantee you're not as young as Drew. Drew, do you know Rocco's Modern Life?
No.
See? This is the Little Bill part
Code
of the
Codename Kids Next Door. Somebody shouts out them from the 816. I remember that show.
Don't know that one either. I'm assuming that person is younger than me. Like, it's a fairly easy guideline to judge.
Someone said they're 32 and still watch SpongeBob. They have a Nickelodeon channel that's basically dedicated to SpongeBob. Every now and then, I'll turn it on with my wife and we'll watch.
You watch a lot of cartoons. That's the only thing I've learned. Like cartoons for kids. But you know what? In fairness, people like SpongeBob. It's a very popular show.
Text line's full of it now. We'll get back to this maybe later in the show. Mm-hmm. But we got a ton of texts coming in. Hey, coming up in about 10 minutes, JJ Piccolo, Royals general manager, is going to join us. We'll discuss where this team's standing is right now in the wild card race. Plus, Bobby Witt Jr., what's the latest with his back? We know he was not in the lineup yesterday. Could he be back in the lineup today? Where are things at with that? So we'll get into that.
I got to say, that game last night was a real backbreaker.
It was unfortunately
it
one
like.
Where you didn't have to go split screen or anything. By the time the Monday Night Football game started, I did not need to have the TV on the Royals game. It was 9-0 or whatever very quickly. Or 8-0 very quickly.
Yeah, and then of course Seattle was down 2-0 to the Cardinals, but they came back to win 4-2. So now you're down 3 games to them, a half game to the Guardians, who you'll face again tonight, a game and a half to the Rangers, who also won. So yeah, it was a particularly backbreaking evening for the Kansas City Royals. It was just one of those games, you know, where you get despondent because you're like, what was this effort? You had one hit through 7 innings. You were getting no hit for a portion of the game. Your pitchers got absolutely lit up. Like, I understand in football sometimes, we talk about this with the Super Bowls, it's easier to just wash away the ones where you never had a chance. Like, you never had a chance in that game last night if you're the Royals. But not with 18 games to go when you're trailing by a couple of games in a wild card spot. I'm still, and I'll stand by this, very impressed that they have managed to stay in the wild card race despite the number of injuries that they have suffered. But that one last night, just like, ugh. If you just, as a Royals fan, said, that's it. Like, you just decided, that's it for me. I wouldn't even have much of an argument. I'd say stick around, but like, could I fight you, Gold, if you said, that's it for me. I'm done with the Royals now for this year.
Yeah, I mean, the same situation again. It's okay, so now you're in the middle of a 4-game series. You drop the first one to the Guardians. You really need to win the series, but now you cannot do any worse than split. Otherwise, you are in danger of going into the Mariners series next week, not even within striking distance. And that still is the key of this entire thing. You, at worst, need to be in that 2.5-game back range going into the Mariners series, in my opinion, next week. And so that's why this Guardian series, you cannot let it get away from you. Because if it does, if next week we're sitting on Monday getting set for the Mariners later on in the week and the Royals are 5 back or 4.5 back, if that were to happen, then then the Mariners series, you have to sweep just to stay in it, not actually take over a spot. So that's why it's so crucial for them to find a way to get going tonight. Noah Cameron is on the bump. We'll talk more about that with JJ Piccolo next. Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Let's get back into the Royals, of course. Every series, every game is magnified. We are in the home stretch of the season. The Royals take it on the Guardians in Cleveland. They'll pick it back up again tonight. And to talk more about where this team sits and also maybe a little update on Bobby Witt Jr., we welcome in the general manager of the Kansas City Royals and executive vice president of baseball ops, JJ Piccolo. JJ, I'll just start with Bobby because I'm sure listeners are wondering that maybe first and foremost. Just do you have an update, the latest maybe where things are at with Bobby Witt Jr.'s health?
Well, he felt a lot better yesterday, which was a great sign. I clearly wasn't ready to play, so we'll see how he feels coming to the ballpark today. But our hope is that he's back in the lineup tomorrow, but a lot will depend on how he feels today. So it's first time he's ever really experienced something like this. So working with him, getting him to understand, you know, not to push it, even though it's a critical time of the season. The last thing we want is for him to jump out there too early and have a setback where he's missing more games than needed. So hopefully it's a good day for him today and he's back in there tomorrow.
For a guy like Bobby, how hard is it? You know, because like we talk about this to Salvador Perez, he plays every day, JJ. Like, how hard is it to tell, like, to convince Bobby not to play, I guess?
Yeah, well, that's where I think this time around, this isn't the first time that Bobby's been sore. I think it's the first time he's really had something that he knew prevented him from playing. So you knew something was really up. I mean, he plays with bumps and bruises, and the guy never takes a play off. He's diving all over the field. He's running well. He's, you know, it's, you know, his body takes a beating. So for him to speak up, and his back was in spasm. Luckily, there was no structural damage. It was just back spasms, and it takes a little bit for that to calm down. But when you're in a sport that requires a lot of twisting and turning, and you play the game the way Bobby plays the game, he's more at risk for things like this. So, you know, it is difficult for him. And, you know, just watching, I'm not with the club right now, but watching the game on TV last night, just seeing the look in his eyes and the way he was watching the game, you know, it's really bugging him not to be in there at a critical time of the season.
When you look at the rest of the Noah Cameron tonight, then we'll talk about maybe where your playoff standings are. Noah Cameron's been going through a little bit of a shaky stretch lately for a guy who's been steadfast for a huge chunk of the season. What differences are you seeing, I guess, out of his performance lately as a guy that you are going to have to rely on three more times if you're going to make the playoffs?
I think there's multiple factors, but more than anything else, we know this is a time of year where all pitchers are fatigued, and he's in an area right now he's never been in before. You know, number one, he was on a 5-day rotation for the first time in his career. Minor leagues just doesn't allow that anymore with Monday off all the time. So you're essentially on a 6-day rotation. So that takes its toll on him. But I think the biggest telltale was really his fastball command. When he's missing up an arm side, you know, that's a good sign of fatigue. And hopefully, you know, we gave him those, I think it was 9 days total off. We just flipped him to the back of the rotation. That is the right thing to do for a guy at certain points of the season. But with that, often that first time back, there's a little bit of rust. So it's sort of one of those, you know, it's the right thing to do because you want to give the pitcher rest, but you also know on the backside, you know, he gets a little bit out of rhythm. So hopefully this outing tonight will be more indicative of what we saw a majority of the year, being that it's his second time back after giving him extra rest. So, but more than anything, to answer your question, it's really the command of your fastball that you'll see will be off, and when that's off, that's a good sign of fatigue.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo here on Cody and Gold. Royals continuing their series against the Guardians tonight right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show starts at 4:30. What do you make of your standing right now as a team heading into the final 19 games? Obviously, you guys know where you're at in the standings, three back. Just what's the feeling around the organization and around this team right now?
We're really proud of the way we're competing. You know, I know we're not squarely in the playoffs right now, but you know, I still think we're competing at a high level. When you look at the adversity that we've had this year that we didn't face last year, and speaking directly towards two injuries, particularly in our rotation, I think it's great that we're in this spot right now, three games out. With 18 to go, that's a tall order. But, you know, a week or so ago, the Rays were out of it. Next thing you know, they're squarely in it. So, you know, the team that gets hot, the team that wins 6 out of 7, the team that wins 8 out of 10, you know, they're probably going to be the team that gets in and gets that third spot. Third spot meaning the sixth spot.
Sure.
But that's, you know, where we all are. I mean, it's a crowded bunch there. You know, Texas, I thought was, you know, going to fall out, and now they're back in it. So, you know, it's just going to be one of those things down to the wire. I think it's exciting. I think it's great baseball. It's honestly, it's playoff baseball for us right now. That's what it is. I mean, we're fighting to get in, but these games are huge. And when you look at the teams that we're playing, Cleveland right now, then we got Seattle after that, you know, they're the teams we're fighting with. So you can do a lot of damage, in those series alone. Last night was a tough start, but it's a loss. You know, you move on to today and you pick up the pieces and last night's over with. So it's I think it's an exciting time. It's not ideal. We'd love to be, you know, locked in right now, but we're not. but we're still competing, and that's something that I think we should all look forward to.
JJ, if I had told you before the season the guys you had missed, the amount of time missed by Reagans, Bubic, Lorenzen, Lugo, etc., out of the staff, where do you think you would have thought this team was? I mean, I know that's a hard thing to answer, but like you had expectations of like some presumed health. Where do you think you would have been?
Yeah, if they were healthy?
Or no, if they were hurt. Like, if you had known before the season you had missed this amount of time, what would your presumption have been about the season?
I would say we'd probably be fighting off 100 losses. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 60% of our rotation missing a ton of starts. But that's where I think our pitching coaches have done a great job. Noah Kammer's done a great job. The guys we got from San Diego, Berger, Kinkolik, have done a tremendous job. So, you know, other things have fallen in place, but if you had told me in March that that's what we'd be fighting through, you know, I'd be pretty concerned. No team, I think every team would feel the same way, regardless of how good your rotation may be. Any team that loses, you know, majority of a lot of starts, you know, from your top five is in trouble. So, you know, again, the guys have done a great job competing, picking up the pieces. It's the old next man up type of mentality. This is an opportunity for somebody else to establish themselves as a major league pitcher. And I think that Kolek, Burgert, and Noah Kammer have done that and give us a lot of reason to think we have a promising future with our starting pitching.
We'll ask you about the young guys here in just a second, but we were talking about Bobby and we're talking about the injured starting pitching. Cole Reagans obviously pitched 3 sharp innings. Any hope he'll make a start before the end of the regular season?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a great start for him. He was 93-97. He punched out 7 in 3 innings. He was actually scheduled to go 40-45 pitches, and we expected that to be 2 innings, but it was 3 innings. So he was clearly very efficient with his strike throwing. So that was a great sign. You know, it's tempting. You know, he's going to pitch again on Friday in Omaha. It's tempting to just jump him right back in, but we want to do what's right for Cole. He's throwing a side tomorrow. We'll know a lot more about how he feels. But the plan right now is to have him go one more time in Omaha and then get him back in the rotation when we get back home. So it was a very, very promising outing on a lot of fronts. You know, there's a little bit of a sigh of relief that, okay, good, the velocity's there, he's healthy. But then there's also the promise of him being available for us headed into the last 2 weeks.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. I don't believe we've spoken since the September call-ups. I know a couple weeks ago we were asking kind of maybe what the thought process was. Now we know those call-ups were, of course, Caglione and Carter Jensen. What have you seen from each one of them to this point in time? I think fan expectation of how often they would play maybe was different, but just what has gone into that decision and how you guys are utilizing the two of them?
Well, they both have been really impressive. I think, you know, I'll start with Cags. I mean, we know, you know, what he needs to work on, and the at bats that he's taken over the last 2 games, in particular, that 13 pitch walk at home on Sunday was as good of an at bat as you'll see in the big leagues or anywhere. And then to do it again yesterday shows a sign of maturity. An adjustment that he's made, a mental adjustment that he's made. And now when he does those types of things, now he's going to get some mistakes. Now he's going to start driving balls. And he's been a little bit unlucky. Even, I'd say, throughout the year, he's hit a lot of balls on the nose that have been hit right at people. And Carter's done a lot of the same. Now, Carter's DNA as a hitter is that. He's never chased. He has been a guy that walked. I think what stands out here is he's doing it in the major leagues against major league pitchers, and just the composure that he's shown in the at-bats is hard not to notice. You would have no idea that these were his first major league at-bats. He looks like he's been hitting in the major leagues for 5 years. We know that every hitter is going to go through ups and downs, but the initial read for a player to be able to take what his strengths are in the minor leagues and to trust it and do it in the major leagues and try not to do too much is really a great sign of what type of hitter Carter Jensen is going to be in the future.
Jay, what's the reasoning behind not having him catch yet? Is it about overwhelming him at the big league level? Obviously, he's not really behind the dish much unless it's kind of in a late inning situation. Where are you guys there?
Yeah, I think the big thing is these games are very meaningful. And, you know, we're already asking a lot of him to DH in games But our pitchers have a level of comfort, obviously, with Salvi, but also with Luke Maley. I mean, the guy's an eight-year major league veteran and knows how to call a game. He's pretty much asked to catch once a week. So with this being crunch time, Salvi's catching 95% of the time. There's just a comfort that our pitchers have, number one, with Luke. And then the second thing is to ask Carter Jensen to call a game, prepare for a game, and to hit in a game is probably more than we care to do. It doesn't mean that he won't catch in any of the games coming up. It's just where we are right now. We feel like that three-catcher tandem is more advantageous to use him the way we are than to try to throw something else at Carter right now. We're just being very cautious, but also Luke Maley's a viable backup catcher. He has been for a number of years.
Every player is different. I think we've talked to you about this. Just because one guy gets called up in a certain process or at least certain result doesn't mean that the process was incorrect. But do you guys look at maybe how other guys were handled, and does that impact your decision of maybe how you're handling Carter Jensen right now?
Other guys, meaning,
for example, you know, looking at the catcher position, I think at one point in time, many years ago, with MJ Melendez, even obviously you guys didn't have him catch. You guys felt like ultimately you should focus on the outfield down the road. Does that lean into this decision?
No. Right now, I mean, the big difference between when other guys that have come up, young catchers come up, we weren't playing meaningful games. I mean, these are very, very meaningful games right now. So I think that's the biggest difference. If this was, you know, June, we'd probably approach it differently. If we were 10 games out, we'd approach it differently. But we're square in the middle of this thing right now. And that affects how we're doing things with Carter as much as anything. I'm just happy he's getting in there and getting a chance to hit, because his offense can be impossible for us. You know, getting on base is a big part of his game, and that's what we need. So, you know, past practices aren't influencing the current practices. It's more the situation that the team's in right now.
J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, joining us here on Cody and Gold. We'll check in a couple weeks. It'll be the final week of the regular season. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
There you go. That's J.J. Piccolo, executive vice president of baseball operations. Yeah, I worded the question poorly there, but based off of...
I know what you meant. Like, are you more careful with a guy considering?
Right, exactly. And Carter Jensen, I have been impressed with his at-bats to this point in time. I know we were talking off-air for the last couple of days about just...
Guy has a professional at-bat.
Is he going to get a chance to catch? But at this point in time, you can clearly tell their thought process with having, you know, not only Salvador Perez, but I mean, we've had JJ on every 2 weeks for the entire season, and Luke Maley, they trust the staff.
The team trusts, the staff trust. Yeah. Look, my issue is always the same. Right now, you can't hit. And neither can Luke Maley.
Right.
And so, like, it's not picking on him in general. It's your biggest weakness every night when you go to the ballpark again and for other different chunks of the season, not the entire season, but as of right now, for the last week, what you can't do is hit. And Carter Jensen can hit. And so, like, and I think calling of a game, and I've talked to JJ and other people around baseball on this, it's changed dramatically in the last 10 years. Yes, the calling of a game by Luke Maley still matters, and the framing and this other stuff. But some pitchers call their whole game. Not all of them, but some call the entire game themselves. And so, like, there is a little bit less. Can you find a pitcher that is comfortable calling their own game and put him behind the dish for that guy, you know? Somebody who already has a handle on how they like to get in and out of it. Maybe not a Noah Cameron who's learning. Maybe not the Burgerts or the Colex. Maybe that is a challenge right now because they don't have as many veterans in the rotation. I will say, if I were them and I were two games back on Friday, my temptation to not have Cole Reagans make that start in AAA and instead make that start in the big leagues for us, a team that is playing meaningful games who desperately need it. If he's pitching 60 pitches anyway, I kind of think I'd like it to be for the Royals if I were both Cole Reagans, the team, and the club.
The 16th of the month is the first day of that Mariners series at the K. And I hope they're in a spot where they're right there within striking distance, where literally that series
would be Wednesday.
Can
he
flip.
Would pitch.
Yeah, so the 17th, I guess. Mm-hmm. So to where that series could flip it, you know, and that requires them, of course, playing well against the Guardians and Phillies over the next couple of days in order for that Mariners series to be one where truly you win that series, maybe you're occupying the final wild card spot. I just hope they can get through this week to where that series is as big as we all are hoping it's going
to
be.
Yeah, I don't want them to play themselves out because of, and look, I'm not going to presume that just because they got their ass kicked last night.
Sure. No, they lost 10-2 yesterday. They can win 5-0 today. Who, you know, anything could happen. I'm just saying, you know, you always would like to get off to a good start in the series. It just puts more pressure on you. That's all. You know, you got three left against the Guardians.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know,
it means like, because if you lose tonight, then you have to win the next two, you know.
Just putting a whole different kind of pressure on
you. So that's why tonight's a big one, I think. I feel like.
Now, it is NFL season, so we'll continue to talk Chiefs coming up at 11 o'clock, including some of their available weapons and how they will handle the targets now moving forward. Last night's game, we got another divisional game.
We did.
Another moment. And both of you, I think, took it, not further, but further than me than I was expecting. Drew sent us a text late last night after watching J.J. McCarthy, I think, perform incredibly well in the fourth quarter.
He did.
And make a great fourth quarter comeback against the Bears, a team that should have won the game last night. Them losing, and our spread contest we'll get to later.
It's good news,
as a result.
It's actually good news.
We'll get to that later. Drew, you sent the exact same tweet, by the way. I think Chase Daniel might have ripped you off. He said the exact same thing like an hour later. We watched J.J. McCarthy grow up in front of our eyes. He's the real deal. Is it okay that if I'm in like the middle ground? Because then, we can talk about what we saw. For me, last night, J.J. McCarthy did more in a game to seal a game than Caleb Williams has done at any point in his career. So, like, it is a positive sign that your young quarterback making his first NFL start had the wherewithal to find his game in the middle of it and do something big. If the rest of the game had gone the way it is, we might have been like, does this guy just stink?
For sure. No.
And so, like, it, like, you know.
The tweet I sent was basically McCarthy just changed the entire vibe around his debut in the last 15 minutes. And that to me is what happened. And it is a different feeling. If you're a Vikings fan, you're feeling amazing about your quarterback. I think that is the reality. The fact that the first half was such a struggle the way it was, he also threw a pick six. It was ugly. It was not looking sharp whatsoever. For him to put that behind him, not let that impact his play, and then go out and win the game. This wasn't, you know, like the running game got going. That also helped things for him to open up the passing game. But he went out and made a big time throw. He made a big time run. It was a great design from Kevin O'Connell.
It was.
Shocking, not at all. But great design from Kevin O'Connell on the run that he had for a touchdown. But he went and won the game for them. So you're thinking, okay, we got a gamer. We got a gamer. This guy
just
wins.
We got a guy who in the biggest moment will show up. Yeah, that's fair. And Caleb Williams did the opposite.
It's game one.
Awful.
But I think you are very impressed with J.J. McCarthy. But, you know, does it mean that – I don't think Drew was saying he's now going to go and be a top five quarterback all of a sudden. But you feel like, oh, that dude and the team in the locker room – that was such a massive comeback.
Players,
because now everybody believe, like, if there was any doubt of the belief around him in that facility, that's over now.
Well, there is a story after the game. I don't know if you guys heard. Aaron Jones, I guess, hopped on YouTube with Acho and somebody else and he said, actually, I've got the cut right here. Matt cut earlier this morning. This is what Aaron Jones said after the game to Emmanuel Acho and others on YouTube.
It was a moment that stuck out to me. It was late third, early fourth. We were still down. And JJ runs in the huddle, and he, after a TV timeout, he looks at us and he's like, is there any place else you guys would rather be? And we were still down. We was down. We hadn't really caught our momentum yet. And I'm like, wow, like this mentally, like he's different up there mentally.
Like, to me, I think he's cool, calm, and collected to a level of, it's his first start in the NFL. And they, to that point, they hadn't even converted a third down all game. And he's like, all right, guys, where would you rather be? Like, let's go and win this. Like, to have that. Cool to have that poise, I think, and for him to then score when he did the read option, he has got the buy-in from the team, and it makes sense. Like, he has the juice. Like, I think to a level that he can, who knows where he can go, because Kevin O'Connell is obviously a great coach, but moving forward, there was a moment where something clicked, and everything after that was just gravy. They started running the ball better. Offensive line was protecting.
Here's the thing,
they were running play action. He was delivering great throws. I thought, to me, it looked like, to your point, Cody, that's better than anything that we've seen from Caleb Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And we're already putting Caleb Williams inside of a top 20 conversation when we rank him. So why can't J.J. McCarthy be top 10 if things continue to pan out with the pairing of him and Kevin O'Connell?
That's the tough part about like any of that is like Caleb Williams plays manic. He does some stuff on a football field. I'm just like, oh, that's impressive. But then he makes some that throw he missed Swift on the sideline. Dear God.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. You got to it late, like crazy late. He was still wide open, and you missed him by 10 yards over his head.
Yeah, I think there's a balance between... I think overall, I agree with most of what you said, Drew. I don't think now that he's a top 10 quarterback or on the end, by the end of the year going to be a top 10 quarterback, but that was awfully impressive, and that's going to...
For sure.
I think changed some people's outlook for the Vikings this year, you know, but it was a quarter and a half of good football. That's what we're looking at.
There are
at.
A lot of people who needed to delete some tweets afterwards or were getting exposed by freezing cold takes.
I'm sure there were. I think there were a lot of people that were calling him a bust just like that. It's, you know, it's overreaction on both sides a little bit, but hard not to be impressed by what he was able to pull off though in the final quarter and a half. I mean, truly the 15 minutes changed the entire outlook of his debut.
The difference is like Josh Allen did a similar thing, but he's a veteran quarterback we expected from.
Yeah.
JJ McCarthy at that point had like scored 6 points and thrown a pick six. Like it was going the opposite direction, and then in the fourth quarter turned it on. So like it does stand out of the time of the game in which he played his best. Part of it is also like, I just don't know how good the Bears are or the Bears' defense is. So
it was a very Bears-like game, even with a brand new head coach and Ben Johnson, who we didn't even get to there. We'll get to it later because he made a terrible decision late in the game as well. Just something that can't happen as a head coach involving the kickoff and the clock a little bit. Either him or somebody on staff has to be better. We'll get into that a little bit more. But up next, let's talk about Travis Kelce and the targets that he got in week one and what we could expect moving forward. Plus, a little college football update from Drew next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.